Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Keith over here, broadcasting live from DeVillers Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And I have in our studio today three really amazing activists, I got to say, in this city for helping everybody donate and build some business. So, Andrea Krieger, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
From United Way.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, thank you for coming. And Kelly Massey and Jerry Goldstein, both from Small Business Development Center, both state and local. So, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith.
Okay, so Andrea, we're going to get right into it, and I'm going to let you take it away because you know way more about the United Way than I do. So go for it.
Well, hopefully by the end of this, you'll know more. United Way, so probably one of the most important things to know as a community is we can't do this alone. So we talk about activism. It takes people and people helping people. And United Way for years has been really well known as a fundraiser. I don't think we are quite as well known for the community development work we do.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful to see these two gentlemen from Small Business
Development. I swear I didn't plan it this way. It just happened.
Phenomenal, because we're in very similar work. So we're kind of developing the community to help better serve all citizens, improving their lives and making sure that they have the accesses to resources that they need that sometimes require nonprofit building. From the small business side,
yeah.
The capacity of our nonprofits is filled with passion, but not always with systems and protocols that they need to be as effective and efficient as they need to be. So small business development is somewhat what we do at United Way with our nonprofit partners. As far as citizens go, everybody knows about the donations. They are not quite as familiar with our work that we do behind the scenes in advocacy and the work that we do to generate volunteerism and kind of match resources within our community with partners to best leverage them to the best good of our community. So there's a lot we do.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit in the elevator speeches as we were talking about earlier, but it plays really nicely into the work that small business development does. We cannot survive without our small businesses. We can't survive without our nonprofits. There are too many citizens that depend upon them for access to other caring people. So that's part of our role at United Way is just matching those people, matching the resources, leveraging them to stretch them as far as possible and to maximize the return. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at 300,000 citizens in Escambia County. Well, United Way of Escambia County touches one out of three.
Wow, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's really, it's a lot of work. But there are some dedicated people that do the work. And there's often this view of United Way as a corporate or government structure.
Yeah.
It so is not. There are so many volunteers that do the work. Right now, if you think about VITA, our voluntary income tax assistance or free tax programs that we offer, we have 40 volunteers. And God love them, because I say this every year, I do not understand who wants to get up and help people do their taxes every day.
Isn't that program coupled with Pensacola State College?
Yes.
I heard about it.
It's phenomenal. You know, last year we had over 3,000 households or families that were assisted. It was a $5 million impact on our community.
They were given an award, I believe,
for their
association with this tax preparation.
We couldn't do it without them. Seriously, we couldn't. Yeah, they give the site for free. Their people help push the information out to students and the community, and the community trusts Pensacola State College. So they'll go, you know, there's not always that trust associated with tax programs, but, you know, that's 40 volunteers that are. It's not us paying people.
Yeah.
It's people showing up, giving their heart and their time. And
to do taxes of all things.
To do taxes, I know.
Is there a qualification to be able to utilize that, that avenue for tax preparation?
There is. It's for low-income households. It's based on the IRS's primary poverty intervention program in the U.S. is earned income tax credit. Often, unfortunately, those low-income households that are $62,000 or less in income, which is pretty much our entire community.
Yeah.
But if your household income is under $62,000, it's a free program for you. And the dollars that get back to our citizens are so important because they're stretching the dimes in households as it is, trying to figure out which bill to pay.
Or what, and, how much food they can put
right,
on the table.
Right.
It's a choice sometimes between gas in the car or food on the table.
Exactly. You know, we did an ALICE study about a year ago, and we have over 50% of our citizens that are paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, if they have a medical emergency, they're looking at bankruptcy. You know, they're looking at what do they do to help feed their kids.
Yeah.
So programs like this are so important, but they're not necessarily what we're known for.
Right.
We're known for our annual workplace campaign and fundraising, but that's a part of what we do, an important part of what we do to fund the work. But it is not nearly as important as getting people inspired to help other people.
Yeah. So is that what you think is your biggest challenge right now, is just kind of breaking some of that stigma?
You know, the perceptions are, it's amazing because I've been at United Way now almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And I still get asked about the CEO of United Way who bought a yacht with donor money. Well, that was certainly not in our community because I certainly don't have enough money to buy a yacht. And it was 1986. But the perceptions are that it's a big corporation, and it's just not. It's, you know, we have a phenomenal dedicated team, but we are volunteer driven. We have tons of volunteers that work with us.
You think just because it's so national? Because it's not just here, it's cities all over America that
sure.
are doing this.
Yeah, there's plus and minuses to a well-recognized brand.
Yeah.
And certainly the plus is that there's a good part of our population that trusts United Way and understands what's happening in local communities. But there is just as many who look at something that happened in Washington.
Right.
Or something that happened in Vermont. You know, I mean, it's got the same logo. How could it not be the same policies and the same procedures?
We have good corporate sponsorship, though, in Pensacola. I always see organizations that are very supportive of what United Way does.
Yeah.
From the corporate level and corporate culture,
sure.
all the way down to employees that are willing to extend themselves for United Way.
Yeah, we really do. You know, and I think that's probably our best benefit locally.
Yeah.
Is our corporate partners understand social responsibility and understand that ultimately by allowing their employees to engage and get involved, they're helping those employees and they're broadening their ability to do their work as a corporation. But yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I'm looking at right now we're working in partnership with Gulf Power and Navy Federal and Baptist and Sacred Heart on a new Cradle to Career initiative that everybody's working to try to figure out how to solve some of our education problems in our community as a system instead
yeah.
of just, you know, all these little silos. How do we get together and do that work? And it's those corporations locally that are driving that. And that's unusual for a community.
Yeah,
typically, the nonprofit sector are bringing those
right.
big initiatives and then begging corporate to get involved. In Pensacola, we are blessed with corporations who care about the community. This
yeah.
is a different community as far as I know. Corporations care everywhere, but there is a different level of that here. I still refer back to Ivan, to peers around the country, and I look at our response here and what happened in response to that devastating hurricane. And the innovation that occurs because people care about people here is very different than
mm-hmm.
what happens in other parts of our country. And I think we should recognize that, but we should also recognize we have a boatload of challenges.
Yeah, we do.
What are one of your biggest challenges?
You know, it's generational. It's a generational acceptance of where families are. Some people call it poverty, but in our community, there are so many interwoven ties to that. So if you look at families who are experiencing low opportunities and have for generations, there traditionally are other things tied to that. They need every family member working. So they're encouraging their teenager to go to work early. And maybe the focus isn't on education. And so instead of that, they're focusing on feeding the family at the moment. And then they can't get out of the cycle because the child doesn't experience the same educational opportunities or take advantage of them or value them in the same way. And then their employment opportunities are less than, you know, ideal.
Sure, sure.
Because they gave up the education.
Because they gave up the education to
sure.
feed the family in that moment. Yeah. And so it creates this dynamic where this cycle just keeps repeating and repeating and repeating.
And how does United Way play a part in that intervention or when you come to the table, the assets that you're bringing to the table that would benefit a family that would fall into that category?
You know, it is so much about, it's again, that people helping people, and it's looking at the whole issue. And it's deciding as a community, our role is to work with the community and all the partners who can play a role, and deciding that it's not about finger pointing and not saying where it went wrong, but figuring out how to do something right in the system so that things start going in the right direction and we're all reaching for the same ideal or the same goal. So it means if you're dealing in an education program, our primary focuses are education, health, and financial stability, kind of the building blocks of life. And so if you've got an educational shortfall in the community, often there is a financial shortfall that's matching with that. So, and there's a health issue. You've got a family that doesn't have food. Well, that child can't concentrate on sitting in the classroom and getting the education when their stomach's growling. If the family can't afford food, they likely aren't doing preventative health care. So they're likely not making sure that the child goes to the dentist regularly. And then that child can't show up because they got a toothache that's causing other health issues. So our role at United Way is finding all the partners to look at the whole issue and figuring out what you have to tackle together to have a positive outcome that isn't just about putting a Band-Aid on that one problem that day, but solving the problem long term.
So it becomes a collaborative effort of resources.
Oh, absolutely. You got to figure out where the holes are and the gaps are.
Well, and I think you said the right word earlier, which was the silos, and the fact that that just has to, and it's starting to. I mean, I've seen it in some of the other interviews that we've done here and organizations that we've been part of, but you're right. All of that stuff has to start breaking down.
Yeah.
Because we all rise or we all sink.
Exactly. We're in it together. And it's not about, that's not my child. Well, it's the community's child. It's everybody's child. And ultimately, it impacts us all for the good or the bad.
Right.
And so what can we do together to fix the problem?
Yeah.
Instead of just slapping a Band-Aid on it for a moment. You know, and I look at United Way and the model, and it's little pieces every day, everywhere. We have so many small businesses that partner with us. When we are doing our workplace campaign, there are over 300 campaigns running. So, you know, it's everybody. And you may have one that's doing $200,000 that they're fundraising among their corporate and their employees. But you may have one that's doing $1,000. And oh, my gosh, that's a huge deal for their group. It's about doing what we all can to make it work. And there's no threshold that's good or bad. It's doing our part however we can.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, we talk about volunteers. I look at Day of Caring, and while it's one day and that's, you know, a phenomenal day, it takes us pretty much all year to plan for that day, but it starts something in a person.
Yeah.
If they go out to Day of Caring and they're seeing these issues one-on-one for the first time, they're painting the peeling building, or they're reading to kids, or they're packing bags at Man, or you know, they're working at ARC, they see things in a different way and are able to get outside of their own personal crisis to care about somebody else. And there's such a feel-good factor with that, about helping somebody else, that it inspires change. It automatically starts that fire that I think we all have to have if we're going to get our community to the place we want it to be, that we envision it to be.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen overnight, though. It's a long path.
I got to say, I'm shaken by your passion. Absolutely. It's just great to see. I mean, this is beyond just a job. I can see that. This is beyond just, you know.
I live here too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously this is something to your heart, and obviously for good reasons, you know. I mean, it's a great thing that they do, but it's like you said, you just can't stop. You just have to keep going.
And you know, the benefits so outweigh the time and the energy you put into it. I've met some of the best people in the world right here working to make a difference. There's such a gratifying feeling to know that somebody else is willing to pick up the shovel with you. And that if we all do it, wow, what a building, what a community we can erect.
So. One of us is never as good as all of us, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So, okay, well, let's see if we can get you some help. What do you have coming up, and how can people get involved?
There is always a way to get involved. You know, it's really interesting that the small development business
I promise you I didn't plan it this way.
Because for so long, everybody hears about our big business in our community, but there are so many small businesses that are doing their part, whether it's Cram the Van or, you know, Communities Caring or whatever our program is. We finally have recognized that within our own organization. Mm-hmm. So we're launching a small business development council that will allow us to promote them along with our big partners too. So that's a way they can, if there's a small business in town that wants to be involved in that, it gives us the opportunity to get them connected with different volunteer opportunities and different corporate partners, our loaned executive program. Sure. Right now, loaned executive is different in every United Way. I've been really excited to see what we could do here because we actually do really similar. Chamber does a great job with LEAP. We do that from really an immersive civic and community and nonprofits kind of direction. Mm-hmm. They do the whole community and all aspects of it.
Right.
With our loaned executive program, they meet, our loaned execs meet monthly. They certainly help us during workplace campaign. They each get 10 campaigns that they help monitor and help assist with best practices or what question do you have about United Way today? But more importantly, they go and they see the community. So every month when they meet, we have a business leader that will come talk about a certain leadership skill. But we also have a nonprofit that comes in and tells about the work in the community and what the need is and how they're addressing it. And our loaned execs actually start with us by serving as panelists for our community investment process. So our community investment process has an education, health, financial stability, and a human services appropriations committee with the county.
Right.
So they choose which panel they want to serve on. They go and they look at applications from nonprofits who are applying for funding to actually be part of one of those collaboratives to do the work we've talked about in the community. Mm-hmm. So they do look at the application and then they go on a site visit with their peers. And they see the program in action and see if what's actually happening in action is matching what was said on the application. They listen to an oral presentation and they have access to past quarterly reports from the agencies where they tell about their outcomes. So when you look at kind of the materials United Way is able to share with our donors, our partners, one of our responsibilities is we feel we really need to show them the path to measuring outcomes. So we're actually looking at what happens from the dollar, not just putting dollars into something we feel really good about
right.
And are passionate about, but that will extract the outcomes we need as a community. So the loaned execs serve in that community investment process, and it kind of gives them the understanding of the needs in the community and the partners who are doing the work. And they every month they participate in that training for loaned execs. And then on top of that, they once campaign starts, they have 10 workplaces that they're kind of the liaison or yeah. the ambassador for. And they at that point know everything that we can share with them about United Way, which enables them to go out and tell the community if they see somebody who has a health or human service need, they're going to be able to tell them about 211 that somebody can call 24 hours a day or go on the website and find the local resource that is up to date, current, and that the individual can access for whatever their need is.
Wow.
So that's a huge program.
Yeah.
We're in the ramp up process for that. They finalize, I think it's the end of this month is the deadline for those applications because we're about to do our volunteer training for community
sure.
investment. So that's real big. The VITA program, we still always, if you don't want to prepare taxes, be a greeter.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of need there. And so we have 5 sites. There is a long wait at Pensacola State College at the main campus. There are just so many people who go back year after year there.
Let's face it. It's not exactly like it's the clearest subject out there, you know?
Well,
it's not the easiest thing to do.
That is very, very true. We actually are 1 of 6 national call centers for a program called My Free Taxes, which is funded by United Way Worldwide. Mm-hmm. They pay us and we employ about 7 to 8 people each year seasonally. And so somebody can go to an online portal if they have $62,000 or less. It guides you step by step through mm-hmm. the process of doing your taxes for free. And if you get stuck, you can call the number and somebody on the helpline can tell you a little more about taxes than I know. So it's helpful to have that information. So Two things they can always do, or call us anytime if they want to volunteer.
Yeah.
Your tax preparers are volunteers.
They are volunteers. They go through training and are certified. We have a certification program with the IRS. They have to meet certain standards. It's amazing because we've had people visit those VITA sites who have paid tax preparers before or use some of those seasonal pop-ups, mm-hmm. and they come in and they say, they know so much more than anybody I've ever used before. It's absolutely amazing that they want to come back and volunteer and do that. But God love them for doing it.
Yeah.
Because it's a true benefit for somebody who's intimidated. Sometimes we have folks who've come in, they've got liens, they've used another provider and had a big hefty charge in the past for that free program.
Well, and let's face it, you make a mistake, it's not like they're really forgiving.
No, you know, not necessarily. Yeah. But yeah, there's anytime they want to help, they can go to our website or they can call us at any time, and we'll get them hooked up with how they want to be involved in the community, because we're involved in a lot of different things.
What's the local website here where they can find you?
It's long, but it's unitedwayescambia.org.
Okay.
And they can go on, and it's separated with, there's an action center. So give if they want to donate, mm-hmm. Advocate if they want to figure out how to tell somebody where they can get help in the community. We have an advocacy program there. And then volunteer, if they're interested in volunteering, what opportunities. We also list all the needs for any of the agencies who have partnered or mm-hmm. sent their information to us. We have the top five in-kind needs for those partners, and we have the top three volunteer needs they have. So if they need a volunteer receptionist, or they need a volunteer reader, or whatever the program may be, it lists the agency with the contact information for that agency and what that need is. So if somebody's not really sure what they want to do, they can go on and kind of scroll through and take a
very
look
cool.
at what they want to do.
Great.
But lots of information on there. You can call us at 434. I always forget this.
Out of all of this information you remember, that's the one you forget.
I'm telling you, I really will have to go back 3497. But let me get that before we get off here, because I don't remember that number.
we'll make sure it's right. And of course, we're going to share all these links and stuff on our site as well.
Oh, great. So. Great. Yeah.
So we'll hang out for a little while.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks
I'm
for,
interested to hear what these gentlemen have to
say. I am too, actually. So, okay, Kelly and jump in. Talk.
Well, first I wanted to say about United Way. I was actually on the board at United Way back in Arkansas. And I can tell you I didn't want to be the person asking for money. I wanted to be on the allocations committee. So I wanted to be one of the people that decided how to best stretch that money, which is kind of the same we do at Small Business Development Center with the tax dollars.
Yeah.
Because we are a no cost program to the public. We're paid for with tax dollars. And so I can tell you, United Way, at least from where I'm from, I'm sure it's the same here, is that we really stretch that money a long, long way. So with the whole, people talking about the yacht that was 30 years ago or whatever. I can tell you in Clark County, Arkansas, you know,
you don't need a yacht.
You didn't have to use for a yacht, did you?
Exactly. We had some guys with houseboats, but they were donating a lot to United Way because they believed in the program. So I can tell you, at least from where I'm from, it was a great program. It was well received program. I'm sure it's the same way here.
Yeah. So just a huge impact. And you're right. I had no idea that there was all of that to it.
Yeah. For every dollar we take in, it's a $3 impact on the community.
That's awesome. That's so awesome.
It grows.
All right, you guys, talk to me about Small Business Development Center and all of the really cool things that I know some of what you do, but let's fill everybody else in on the rest.
Well, you want to start with a 30,000 foot view from the state, Veterans Florida.
Sure.
Where it has, contracted with the Small Business Development Center Network Office, which is located here in Pensacola, that manages 45 offices throughout the state of Florida, was given a grant to develop a program for veterans, both active duty and those that are retired and those that have honorable discharge. There's 1.6 million veterans in the state of Florida, and veterans come out of the military for however long they've been in, well-trained. They have been given leadership skills. They've been given other skills that are transition into opening and running a business. Unfortunately, many of them don't know how to run a business.
Right.
They're kind of lost with that concept. So Veterans Florida has, through the Small Business Development Center Network office here, has been tasked with developing a curriculum that is delivered through five network partners. That curriculum, I'll tell you about the network partners in a minute, but the curriculum is based on a world-famous lean startup, which was developed by Steve Blank out of Babson College, which is one of the leading business colleges in the United States. And it is designed to teach people how to start a business. Or if you already have a business, how to grow that business and grow it profitably. So it uses, it's developed in three phases. Phase one is a completely asynchronous system delivered online with our network partners. That's the University of West Florida, Small Business Development Center located at the University of West Florida, University of North Florida in Jacksonville, Hillsborough County Community College in Tampa, and the Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers and Florida Atlantic University in Miami. Each of those institutions are going to be given a curriculum that will be identical through all five institutions. As I said, in phase one, it's delivered online. Phase two is delivered. The phase one is about a seven-week mm-hmm. online program, and you advance modules each week with instructors that are engaged to help you get through, answer questions, and guide you through the online learning process. Phase two is delivered in over three weekends, and that is a face-to-face in-classroom instruction. And then finally in phase three, once you've completed phase one and phase two, that participant will then be handed off to one of the 45 offices throughout the state and assigned a certified business consultant. And that mentorship will last 6 months to help that veteran get their business started or help a veteran that already has an existing business grow. So it's a very prolific program, and it's completely free to the veteran. There is no cost. Even if that veteran has to travel to one of the network offices, if they're located, let's say, in Ocala, and they have to travel an hour to their closest network partner, which mm-hmm. would probably be Tampa. Their mileage is paid for, their hotel if they're going to stay overnight for the weekend class is paid for, and their food is paid for. All of this has been provided by the state of Florida, which recognizes that they're one of the leading states when it comes to supporting veterans.
Yeah, and that's huge. And I know just as a business owner, period, regardless of veteran or not, the resources that you guys have, If you haven't dug into it and you're a business owner or whether starting or not, you need to, because that kind of stuff can stop you from making some of the common mistakes that get made that don't even let you get the door open.
And quite often that's true.
And that's usually what happens sometimes. And it's not this complicated, weird formula or something. I mean, some of these things are just very simple things that you just need to know that you may not have normally thought about.
If you haven't been in business before, that's quite true. I mean, if you start looking at trying to produce an income statement, the balance sheet, knowing the difference between the two is a great deal of help. And the veterans may not have been accustomed to that.
Sure.
These guys are smart. They've been laser focused on a specific training. I mean, if you're loading bombs on a jet, what do you know about an income statement?
Right, sure.
Or cost of goods sold or net income or ratio analysis or trying to. One of the things I want to tell you that this program, its direct outcome, is focused on developing a complete business plan
mm-hmm.
from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to require some type of capital funding, you're not going to get that funding without a business plan. When you go to Kelly Massey's, to his SBDC office, that's one of the first things that they're going to look for.
Yeah.
When they come in and say, okay, what are you doing about marketing? Let me see your business plan. Well, I wrote it on the back of a napkin last night. And by the way, I've seen that. When I worked with Small Business Development Center in the regional office, we had clients that came in. I said, well, let me see what your pro forma looks like. And they literally wrote it on the back of a napkin. Yeah. Their marketing plan was on the back of a napkin.
Which is okay, because some of the greatest ideas have been found on the back of a napkin.
Not
but
a
you
bad
have
idea,
to graduate from that.
Which you've got, and that's why they come see Kelly. I mean, they come in with this idea on the back of a napkin, and they go, you know, Kelly, I need help.
Yeah.
And that's when Kelly assigns this to a certified business consultant to help them take that napkin and evolve it into a full business plan.
Yeah.
So the direct outcome of this program, when they get through, they have already been guided through that entire process from concept to what is that business going to look like at some level of success.
Yeah. Not to mention the amount of resources that you guys have that most business owners just don't have on their own.
All right. It must be said that we regularly help people like doctors or physicians or, you know, it doesn't matter. They don't know how to write a business plan just right. like the veteran or the car mechanic or whoever. You know, unless you do it every day, you're probably not going to do it as well as
yeah.
what we can at least help you prepare. The other thing that that we're going to do during this process, and the reason that we are at the SBDC are a logical fit for the program, especially in our region, is that this is what we do every day anyway.
Yeah.
And so we're going to use the curriculum provided. We're going to do the 7-week online. I have a individual that works for me that's actually has a doctorate. He's going to be doing all the online modules, Len Eichler. And then we're going to split up the in-person sessions on the weekends amongst all of our consultants are going to take a piece of that. And we all have a lot to share. We have people on staff that are CPAs that are willing to help. But, you know, the more important thing is if you go in, you know, you go into Summit Bank or Regions or whatever, and you have that napkin, or even if you have just a modest, you know, not a very good business plan, mm-hmm. it's really going to hurt your chances. You may think it's good. But if you worked with us, hopefully we can help you. One of the main things that we can help you do is just find data to back up all of your assumptions. So you're saying, hey, I think my bowling alley is going to do $1.2 million a year. Well, we have access to those reports that say for Pensacola or for Florida or right. for U.S., this is how much they're making. This is how much their cost of goods sold is, you know, on average, all that data to back it up. And so, you know, that's some of the things that we have. What's going on in that industry? We can bolster those things up. And we know what the bankers are going to be looking for, the questions that they have in their mind. And so we want to help the veterans or whoever we're dealing with to have a business plan that is going to answer all the questions, you know, even before they get asked, hopefully by the banker or the venture capitalist, angel investor, yeah. or whoever. And so that's what we're doing for this program. I do want to say, though, just about the SBDC in general is that, number one, 99% of the businesses in Florida are considered small businesses under the SBA guidelines. And so typically if you're under 500 employees and several million in sales, we can work with you. We work with manufacturing facilities, nursing homes, you know, you name it. We've dealt with it. We've done some interesting businesses, some of which I can't share on the air, but we've been involved in quite a bit. Like United Way, you know, for every dollar that's invested in our program through tax dollars, I think it's $29 that gets back just from economic impact. Yeah. And so we're a pretty valuable program. Other things that people do not realize that our office does is that we actually help people that are in business. Most of what we do is for people that are actually in
business.
Right,
that are already there.
Yeah, because that's where most of the economic impact occurs. So if we're dealing with the pre-venture, we've got 10 pre-venture clients. The vast majority of them may not go anywhere just because their personal situation mm-hmm. may not be as such that they're going to be able to get financing. That's reality. If you are a business owner and, you know, you're at that couple years in business, 5 to 10 employees, whatever, those are the ones that tend to really explode. They're the ones that really can grow a lot. We have a lot to offer as far as financial analysis, helping them prepare business plans for growth. Do they need to get into government contracting? That's a huge thing that
yeah.
we do. We've got Laura Subel on staff that's been with us for a number of years, and she knows federal, military, state, local, you name it, she can do it. I think we have actually a Office of Supply Diversity matchmaker. I believe it's on Friday mm-hmm. up at UWF, and a lot of the government contracting
yeah.
people that you would want to get jobs with are there. So she can definitely help with that. The other thing that we do, I actually have Julia Montgomery, who is my international trade specialist. She does export marketing plans. And so she's actually working in Tallahassee with a client doing an initial meeting right now to develop an export marketing plan. So hey, I've got this product or service I'm supplying. You know, where can I best sell it from a, where, you know, where's my target market, but also where is it friendly from a regulatory standpoint to get my product there?
Yeah.
Or, you know, business climate standpoint. So we do that. And then, of course, all the fundamental stuff you might think of. And this is the stuff we're going to help with the veterans program. And, you know, anyone else is, you know, do you have human resources issues you need help with? You know, do you need a handbook? Do you know if you have the right labor law posters, financial issues, accounting? We do a lot of QuickBooks training, things like that. Marketing is a huge thing.
Yeah.
You came to the, is your business on Google Maps?
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, you saw it. There's nothing to it. It's
hours
10 minutes.
And hours and hours of self research cut down to literally 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, as an example of the resource, I did it. We did another one. I can't remember the lady's name that did it, but it was on the social media piece of it. And again, it was probably hours and hours of self research and doing it on my own. That was whittled down to about 45 minutes and some really understandable and applicable content that I could walk out of there and use.
Social media now has become a critical business tool.
Yeah.
People don't really understand that the public is now spending approximately 15 hours a week on mobile devices. And
I saw some pretty scary facts in that seminar. I think more people own a cell phone than a toothbrush.
Well,
that was a little scary, but it's true.
And they probably use it more than the toothbrush.
Yeah. And I think the other one was 50% of the world's population is 30 or younger. So everything that you're doing now has to be in the long game, needs to be geared to that. And that was social media all day long.
If you start to think about that, SEO, or what we're talking about, search engine optimization, has now become a business tool and as much as a balance sheet and income statement.
Yeah.
And understanding that concept and how to take advantage of that and utilize it in a collaborative effort for your own business. It's not the future. It's here now.
Yeah.
So businesses today, if you aren't using social media and all of the pieces and parts of that, your business is not going to move
forward. Yeah, you're behind the eight ball.
You are behind the eight ball. But I wanted to just touch on how important the entrepreneurial ecosystem is. I don't think the public really understands. If you take a look at back in December, Florida State University received the largest donation in the history of that school, $100 million.
Go Noles.
Strictly targeted to an entrepreneurial building.
Yep.
For this purpose of educating startups and businesses.
Yeah. It's like one of the coolest think tanks that's ever going to be.
Well, it's not just an individual. I mean, that was Jim Moran who started his own fund or something of that nature, was able to give that kind of money. But if you take a look at another initiative, 10,000 businesses started by Goldman Sachs, Lloyd Blankfein, which is supported by Warren Buffett, Michael Bloomberg, and Michael Porter, they put up an astounding $500 million. It is now in 27 locations with over 5,000 participants. It's an amazing amount of money. In Paris, this city converted an old train station, put up $200 million to build an incubator.
Yeah.
They're expecting people from all over the world to come there.
Just to give them the ability to get started.
That's exactly right. They're looking for high tech. They're looking for low tech. They're looking for programmers. But they expect over 1,000 people to be able to utilize this incubator system.
Yeah.
And right here in Pensacola, you had the University of West Florida and Pensacola State College join hands and created the CIE, which is the Center of Innovation and Entrepreneurship. I'm the past chairman. I've been on that board for 5 years. Kelly Massey's on that board. And that space is located downtown where it provides physical space at a reduced rate so startup business can have a place to come and build their business. It also supplies mentors and some experts to be able to help them when they need that. But it's an amazing system when we start talking about entrepreneurs. And when you take a look at why is this important? Why should you really care? And the truth of the matter is that it's the numbers. 543,000 businesses are started every month.
Mm-hmm.
And small business is the only sector that over the last 15 years has had a positive growth rate in terms of employees. Employer businesses, which are your large businesses, have actually been cutting back the amount of employees while small business has been growing. So it's an amazing process when you begin looking at the size of this and why do you really care about it? And there it is. 30 to 50% of commercial space is taken up by small business.
Yeah.
I can go on and on and on with numbers, but you begin to see why this is important. You also begin to see what initiatives are out there that are helping small business to understand how to start their business and how to run their business and how to grow their business. And one of the biggest attributes that you need to look at in terms of the challenges that are facing small business and startup is education. There's a study that was done, and in 10 years, the success rate was up 100%, and that's directly correlated to education. The biggest challenge startups and small businesses face is understanding the concepts, mm-hmm. and that comes with education. So when we start looking at entrepreneurial ecosystems and entrepreneurial initiatives like Veterans Florida, Small Business Development yeah. Center, 10,000 businesses from Goldman Sachs, there's a reason. There's a reason why the success rate of small businesses that can stay in business is directly correlated to education.
You got to know.
You do need to know.
You got to know. And yeah. sometimes you don't know that you got to know. You know, well, and that's you know, the other big thing.
The old saying is you can grow yourself right into the ground.
Yeah.
You look at all this revenue coming in, you look at all these sales, and all of a sudden you've got SUTA tax, FUTA tax, you got payroll taxes, you got mm-hmm. payroll to meet, and pretty soon all that cash is gone.
Yeah.
Plus inventory, accounts receivable. So it's a complex process of running a business. But it can be less taxing, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
if you fully understand from start to finish where you're going, where you're headed, and how you're going to get there, and what it's going to cost you.
Yeah.
And more important, what will you look like?
Yeah.
What are you going to look like when you get there?
Yeah. Well, and what resources are around you to assist you on that ride? Because you can't do it all by yourself.
You can't. Not unless you were born.
You definitely shouldn't even try.
No, not unless you were born in that environment. You know, if you came from that kind of environment and it becomes rudimentary to you, that's one thing. But what if you don't?
Yeah.
Not everybody's born into that kind of family. So if you want to start a business, where do you go and how do you get started? Who do you talk to and where can I get that information?
Yeah.
And I can tell you, in the state of Florida, Small Business Development Center is like Walmart. Every 100 miles, there's an office somewhere.
Yeah.
So you've got resources, and that's a good place to start. I think, Kelly, how many offices do you have just in the Panhandle?
I said, yeah, well, there's three here in town, isn't there?
Yeah, we have seven throughout the Panhandle. We have one at the Pensacola Chamber of Commerce,
yep.
One right up by UWF. We have an office in Fort Walton Beach. It's in a Coastal Bank building over on Building Parkway, just right off of campus. And then actually our Panama City office is in the mall, but we all have other locations in Chipola College in Mariana, Crestview Chamber of Commerce, and at the Santa Rosa County EDO office. So yeah, you don't have far to drive. We can. And of course, if it's certain businesses that we've, develop relationships with, sometimes we'll go to their location as well. And
yeah.
So yeah, it's pretty. You don't have to drive a.
Not to mention online. I mean, it's very accessible.
Oh yeah,
absolutely. To get the information.
Yeah, if you make the effort, there'll be somebody there at your door to help you.
Yeah.
All you have to do is reach out. The tentacles are pretty prolific throughout the state.
Yeah, I can contest to that.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
I have asked and it has been answered. So,
well, and there you go. And they can produce quality work.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I mean, everybody thinks that okay, I'm going to SBDC. I'm not going to get somebody that either understands me or has the capability of producing the kind of work that we need. And that's not true.
Yeah, it's absolutely not true.
You have to understand that they are associated with the College of Business and the University of West Florida. They've got vast resources.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to have a study done, Kelly's got the resources both internally to
yeah.
reach in inside of his organization as well as outside that organization. I mean, I work there. I know that he's got access to analytics that are extremely helpful. Kelly was discussing that earlier, that they have the ability to go in and look at some of the dynamics within every industry that exist.
Yeah.
So if you need to know, you know, what can you expect? What should your cost of goods sold be in a restaurant?
Yeah.
And depending on what kind of restaurant, or the example that Kelly used was a bowling alley. You know, what does your market look like inside of the demographics within geographical locations? One of the strongest analytics that he's got. You know, how many kids there are, how many adults are there, how many teenagers are there, what's the average income? All of that is important when you start looking at some particular kind of business. Not everybody's producing an app.
Yeah.
Some of them are still going to bricks and mortar.
Sure.
So those analytics are vitally important. Where are you going to get that kind of information? And if you knew where to get it, would you know what to do with it?
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying with the hours and hours of research streamlined into, you know, a couple hours or some time.
I can't produce a report in a couple of hours, but I can promise you that the kind of report and the information that you're getting is high quality.
Yeah.
University of West Florida's got a top business school. They've got an excellent MBA department, and they utilize, Kelly has access to be able to utilize those assets, those external assets, coupled with his internal assets. So he can reach out to that institution. I think, Kelly, aren't you, even in the MBA program, you have students that work on marketing plans for a number of businesses that's part of the program.
Yeah, we actually have between undergraduate and graduate programs in the UWF College of Business. We have, I think, about 25 faculty student SBDC client projects. So, in other words, one great example that I know we wouldn't mind sharing was Sun Farm Energy Systems. Mm-hmm. We did a marketing plan for them, and they have an excellent business model. And he found it, Doug Herrick found it very, very valuable. I think I had four students on that project, and they came up with some really neat analysis for geographically where he might want to locate his business or, market his solar panels and also laid it on top of, so you have your, it's kind of hard to explain, but there's a tapestry map that shows these are where your customers, where they live.
Yeah.
And then, okay, well, where are the trees at? Because you can't put, you know, you can't put solar panels on houses that are covered with trees. So then you load the Google Maps on top of it, mm-hmm. or Google Earth on top.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just really neat what they did. Another excellent project with a guy who I consider to be very sharp. And if he finds value in what we do, anybody can find value, is Dr. Gene Teresa. Did an excellent project with him, I guess a feasibility study. Jerry, if you want to talk about that, you're welcome to. But then also working with like Arlene Williams Barbecue on Mobile Highway, mm-hmm. we did a marketing plan with her, and the students designed a new menu for her. And she's using that menu right now.
Yeah.
And so it took the menu and basically adding, you know, her catering services and other marketing tools into that trifold. And that was just kind of the bonus part. They did a lot more than that. And so, we have just numerous of examples. Another one I'm very proud of is, this is a government contracting one, is James Rockhill with the Rockhill Group. He's been working with Laura Subel for 20 years, I don't know, a long time. And I know he gets millions and millions of dollars worth of government contracts. And it's just, you know, free or no call service to him. And he's utilized Laura for the entire time. And that's the other thing, is we do have people that come in and we help them do their business plan and they ride off into the sunset. We don't really know what happens to them. But most of the people that we do business with, you know, we'll help them on a project and maybe we don't hear from them for a few months, and then they call us back and they want us to help them with something else. Or it's, hey, can you come in and look at my financials? Let's see, you know, what do you think is going on? Let's look at the inventory, whatever it may be. We have people with a lot of expertise. One thing that's interesting about Florida that I found, and where I was from in Arkansas was similar, but not quite as good, is you have a lot of brain power that retires here.
Yeah.
And they're retired.
Very true.
Okay, I'm retired for 6 months and, you know, I'm getting bored. And so we've got excellent resources. Dan Cavanaugh is my manager here in Pensacola, CPA, worked at Westinghouse and General mm-hmm. Electric. Tom Hermanson is the manager over in Fort Walton Beach. And he's actually I always get a kick out of saying this. He's an engineering physicist with an MBA, and he worked, I guess, doing lasers or something. I think he actually did do lasers at Eglin. So I guess he was the ones that shoot the laser at you and it vibrate your body until you explode or something. Yeah. I don't know exactly what happens, but
cool. But, awesome.
You know, I just made that up. I have a feeling he probably knows how to do that.
He probably could tell you. He'd have to kill you, right?
And, you know, just some great resources, you know, on the staff.
Yeah.
People who they've done, you know, they've owned business. I've had tax business. I worked in International Paper, Georgia Pacific. So my background's HR. And so, you know, throughout our network, we have people with certain expertise and we can call on people outside of our region. Even, you know, if there's somebody in Jacksonville that can help our client, we'll get them on. We have, everybody's got the little cameras with Google Hangouts, you know, we'll get them on the phone, so to speak.
That's awesome. Okay. So where can we send somebody if they're interested in the Veterans Entrepreneurship Program?
If you want to make application, the website is www.floridavetbiz.org, FLORIDAVETBIZ.org.
Okay. And then, and Kelly, where can we send them if they just want to sign up to see if they can use any services here?
Yeah, that's just www.sbdc, as in Small Business Development Center, .uwf.edu, as in education.
Very cool. Okay, you guys, well, we're kind of wrapping in on time here, so I'm going to take us out, but I want to thank all of you for coming and really enlightening me in an experience I've already had and in continuing to have, and just knowing how much more United Way really does for our community and for here. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Keith.
You guys can find us at Pcola Radio X on Twitter or at Pcola BRX on Facebook, or you can find us on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters.